Did you know that Christmas comes but once a year, unless you believe in Christmas in July? We've got all sorts of fun and interesting things and more coming up. We got lots of things, so let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Ryan O. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. What does it sound like when Ryan's belly shakes like a bowl full of jelly? Here in Did You Know with Ryan O, we are the podcast that talks about all sorts of fun facts, information pertaining to pop culture or science, history, geography, and other things pertaining to, well, me. But I'm not going to do this episode alone. No, this week I have a special guest. She's been on this show multiple times. It's the one and only Rachel O. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
I've traveled so far to get here.
You had to travel the farthest distance of all from the couch to that chair.
Yep. Super duper far. Maybe like 15 steps.
Oh no, it's been a tragedy. So it's the holiday season. The holiday season. And we've got all sorts of fun things happening outside. In fact, it's chilly at the moment.
Chilly.
Not to be confused with the food chili.
Yum.
Or the country chili.
Also yum?
Could be. But it's beginning to look a lot like more of our neighbors are having lights outside.
Good for them. Free time is awesome.
Yes. And what we're doing with our free time is recording this episode for all of those out there who want to listen to all sorts of fun things.
Woo-woo.
Let's tell the folks about what we watched the past couple of days.
We have watched The Queen's Gambit.
Which was delightful retrospective of the 1960s and a pretty shocking story, too.
And we have watched one of the seasons of The Great British Baking Show.
Which is delightful and charming simultaneously.
Yes. And I'm sure there'll be something else where watching either on our own or about to start.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on The Great British Baking Show?
At first, when I first saw it on Netflix, even just fluffing through, nothing that interesting or that piqued my interest, but I think watching it is good because I'm not very much of a baker, and even though I liked baked goods, still, baking is, you have to be very precise and very technical and sciencey. So not really something that I've been into. However, watching this show, it was very cute and lovely and sweet and all things that are British. So it was perfect.
So when you normally make baked goods, tell the folks listening, what are your staple baked goods that you like making?
I would say, if I'm making something actually from scratch, I still somehow cheat because, I mean, I don't make my own pie crust. But I would say the things that I make most from scratch would be pie or cookies.
What are your favorite cookies to make or eat?
I like something we call forgotten cookies, which is like a meringue cookie. Or I also like just traditional chocolate chip cookies. I've made pumpkin snickerdoodle with white chocolate chips. And definitely around Christmas time this time of year, we make several type of cookies, such as like a chocolate oatmeal cookie or like fudge.
Nice. And some of your favorite pies?
To eat, my favorite pies would probably be like a pecan pie. But to make, I think apple pie is very easy and simple to make.
One of my favorite pies to eat is always a pumpkin pie. Always.
I know this. But I also make, what is it? A cinnamon pie.
You do make a great cinnamon pie.
And that to me is very unique and delicious.
Psych fans would also be very appreciative of it.
Yes.
Because that's what's up.
That is what's up.
The only baked thing I can do besides the brownies and cookies from the mixes is a cake. And I made my first cake for your birthday this year.
You sure did, and it was delicious.
It was a two-tiered yellow cake with a whole bunch of chocolate frosting.
Yum, yum, yum.
Because that's like your favorite type of cake.
It is my favorite type of cake. And you also did good on your trial run, too.
Yes, yes. I had to make sure that it was going to turn out okay, so I had to test something else. But lately, we also found something at our local bakery. It was the red velvet cake.
Red velvet cake is very good.
And recently, we've also had a lot of key lime pie.
Ooh, yes. Publix key lime pie is really yummy.
So if you have a key lime pie out there and you've never tried it before, number one, if there are certain desserts out there that you haven't tried, and you haven't tried it, not because of like different things that you don't like if you don't like the taste of lemon, obviously you shouldn't get something that has lemon in it. However, if you just haven't tried something, you should try something new just for the sake of trying something new, because you never know, it could be your new favorite something.
It very well could be, like lemon icebox pie.
Or a chocolate meringue pie.
Or black forest cake.
Or baklava.
Ooh, baklava.
Which I always thought was a Bavarian meat pie until I learned what it actually was.
Oh, man. And you're missing out.
And now I'm looking forward to trying all sorts of fun and unique things, all based on different cooking shows. For example, we were watching like Chopped a long time ago, and I wanted to figure out what bok choy is. I still haven't had bok choy.
No, I've had it. I don't really remember how to describe it. It's kind of like a green vegetable-ish.
But I want to try it once. Maybe with my stir fry that I make, I want to try it at least once.
Absolutely. And sometimes I find that when you're experimenting with food, if you've never had it before, that can almost hurt you in your cooking skills and tasting of it. I remember making eggplant one time for my parents, and I'd never had it, and it was awful. We all decided it was disgusting. So I hadn't had eggplant ever. And probably, a couple months ago, I had eggplant parmesan with my aunt. She had ordered it at a restaurant. And I tried it, and it was delicious. And it reminds me of, what I make zucchini parmesan, pretty much. And so now I'm thinking I should make eggplant parmesan sometime soon.
Or eggplant parmesan fries.
That would be interesting. You weirdo.
I know. I'm a weirdo. And so are a lot of other people. Speaking of weird things, we once asked people what their favorite soda / pop / soft drink / carbonated beverage was.
Okay.
And we've got a Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. Ginger ale. Mm-hmm. Water.
Carbonated water is a thing.
Yep. Mountain Dew Voltage, that's the blue raspberry flavor. Mm-hmm. You're not a big Mountain Dew person.
I don't like Mountain Dew at all, and I've tried most of the flavors because you love trying the flavors, and there's just something to Mountain Dew, period, that I just don't like.
I tried their Mary Mixing Mary Mix, which was like a cranberry pomegranate flavor, and it was rather good. It's only available for the holiday season.
Nice.
But definitely doesn't sound like something that you'd be super enjoy or that you'd enjoy.
No.
But you do like Cherry Coke.
Yes, I do.
See, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, a Faygo Red Pop.
You don't know what that is?
Well, it's kind of...
Bless you?
You know Fanta, right?
Unfortunately.
So it's similar to their red version, but better tasting.
Yeah, Fanta's not good tasting at all, so.
No, but this red stuff is. Okay. Let's see, cream soda Dr. Pepper, which was a thing.
Yeah, had it. Wasn't a fan.
Someone says any Mountain Dew except for the red, white, and dew, which is the regular, I don't know. 7-Up.
7-Up. I choose 7-Up over Sprite.
Vanilla Coke.
Sure.
A&W Root Beer.
Oh, definitely.
Cream Soda.
Yes. Drinking that right now.
And Diet Caffeine Free Pepsi.
Wow.
Yes. Choices were made on that one.
See, I just can't drink diet anything because of the artificial sweetener. It always gives me a headache.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the artificial stuff either because for the same reason, that aspartame just not a good time.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. So even if I wanted to drink diet soda, it's just better off not drinking soda at all.
Oh, that's fair. But speaking of trying things and eating and drinking things, it's the holiday season at the moment. And at a former episode, we've talked about what sort of food you like to have during Thanksgiving. But what sort of meals do you like around Christmas and New Year's?
I see. I mean, traditionally, my family would get together for New Year's and we'd have like appetizers, like finger food, snack food, like cheese ball, dips, maybe pigs in a blanket, or like a meat tray, vegetable tray. So just little knickknacks to just snack on and just sit and listen to some good music and chit chat. And to me, I like that way more than sitting down to a full meal like Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve is where it's at for me. But Christmas Day, we usually would have like either chicken or Cornish hens and a ham. And just like the traditional sides, potatoes, maybe some green beans. And
what sort of potatoes? Like, because people out there sometimes think that sweet potato is a good potato to have during Christmas.
I mean, traditionally we would have, I think, just mashed potatoes. The thing about Christmas meal and Thanksgiving meal are pretty similar. Same with the sides. So sometimes if we didn't have one side for Thanksgiving, we would have it at Christmas. So maybe if we didn't do green bean casserole at Thanksgiving, we would have it at Christmas and vice versa. Sometimes with like sweet potato souffle.
What's a sweet potato souffle?
So it's like the sweet potatoes mixed with some ingredients to make it kind of fluffier, and then you put marshmallows on top and you bake it, and the marshmallows get kind of brown and toasty, and then the sweet potato underneath is kind of creamy and fluffy.
And do you add anything extra to make it extra sweet?
Probably there's brown sugar in there, maybe some honey, and some people add like pecans or walnuts to it as well. It's been a while since I've made it. We haven't had it the last couple years.
So then, what about on the dessert faction when it comes to Christmas?
Christmas, for my family, traditionally...
Besides the forgotten cookies.
We would just make, like, a bunch of cookies, but usually that would be a couple weeks in advance, so we wouldn't have cookies on Christmas, but we would have, usually we would make a cake for Jesus' birthday.
Okay. What type of cake...
Usually whatever cake we like, which is typically yellow cake chocolate
frosting. Sure.
Because, I mean, it might be for Jesus, but we're the ones eating it.
Now, before I met you, I had never heard of a forgotten cookie. Could you explain to some of the people what a forgotten cookie is?
So it's called a forgotten cookie because you turn on the oven, and then meanwhile you mix all your cookie ingredients together. You set your cookies in little drops on the cookie sheets and you stick them all in the oven, as many as you can, and then you turn the oven off. And then you have to leave the oven closed for basically the rest of the day, or sometimes overnight we would do. And the meringue sets, and the cookie has chocolate chips and pecans inside of the sweet meringue. And so, like, it's a little bit of a harder, crunchy cookie. but they are delicious, and they're really nice when you open up the oven and they're warm.
But you have to, so one time I opened up the oven and looked at them, and they kind of looked like a hardened marshmallow with chocolate chips inside of them.
Sort of, yeah, yeah. If you've had, I don't know, they have little pastry things that are like meringues as well. I forget what they're called. But they're really good. You basically beat egg whites and sugar with a little bit of salt and I think vanilla together until you form stiff peaks. And then you fold in chocolate chips and the chopped pecans, and you fold those, and then you drop the little, I don't know, maybe half dollar-ish size onto a cookie sheet with either spray them or with the, what is it, parchment paper. And I might be forgetting an ingredient. I don't know. But they're my favorites.
What if you took the forgotten cookies, but you also took you took some actual like chocolate and you covered the forgotten cookies with chocolate after they're made and you let it harden?
Ooh, that would be very sweet because there's a lot of sugar in that meringue. You might be able to get away with like zebra striping them in chocolate.
Sure, kind of drizzling them.
Yeah, you might be able to get away with that, but they're already sweet enough.
Gotcha. So you like things sweet. But not, oh my gosh, if I put these in water, they dissolve sweet.
Well, you want something that isn't overly sweet because then you have room for all the other goodies.
And speaking of other goodies, we'll talk about them after a word from our sponsor. Did you know with Rhino? While you're listening to this ad, I'd like you to look down. Now look back up. Are you wearing an awesome shirt that says Team Ryan O? Or a shirt with a duck with a cup spilled over that says Party Foul? Are you also wearing a really cool button that says Did You Know with Ryan O? Or a hat that says Team Ryan O? Or I Know Ryan O? Well, if you're not doing any of those things, you should be. And you can do so by going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. That's right, folks. I have my own merchandise shop, and you can buy all sorts of amazing awesomeness pertaining to this podcast and show your love by once again going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. Wear it, share it, love it. And now back to our show. Did You Know with Ryan O? So this week, I found a list of really awesome, strange and wacky Christmas food facts.
Alrighty.
Because I know that Christmas food, any sort of holiday food, is some of your favorites and mine.
True.
So let's see, based on this article, candy canes. Rachel, do you know why candy canes were invented?
The only thing I could think of is if it was meant to go into a drink and the hook on the end was to hook on top of your cup.
Which sounds like a perfectly logistical reason as to why they could be invented. According to legend, in 1670, when the choir master of the Cologne Cathedral commissioned candies shaped like a shepherd's crook so that they could be handed out to children attending the church's thing in order to keep them quiet. The stripes then came later.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, apparently, sugar plums had nothing to do with plums.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that at one point. What are they?
See, the plum came around when these things first came around in the 1600s. The term plum was basically any dried fruit. Typical sugar plums are made with a combination of dried fruit spices that are rolled into balls and then coated with a hard candy shell. So it's just, you know, the fact...
A jelly bean.
Pretty much. they're like fancy jelly beans. So when you were a youngster and you had a lunch that you would take to school and whatnot, what sort of like treats would you possibly find in a snacked lunch?
Probably more like a cookie or maybe like a Hershey Kiss or something like that.
Well, apparently animal crackers were originally a Christmas treat.
I mean, animal crackers, yeah, sure. Why not?
They were introduced around Christmas time in 1902. The string on the box was originally intended to be used to hang the boxes on Christmas trees.
That's kind of cool. Because, like, you know, you used to actually get them in, like, the little Barnum and Bailey circus box. I used to love that.
Which could have... I always liked picking out specific animals.
I think I used to eat all the broken ones first and then save the whole ones for later. And, of course, you have to look at every single animal to see what you're eating. And the broken pieces, you have to try to guess what animal it was for.
You got to figure out which leg belongs to which creature.
Pretty much.
You couldn't... eat them all and just like put a handful in because
that'd
only take you like 2 minutes to eat the entire box. You gotta make it at least 10.
No way. You're a monster if you just shove a whole bunch of animal cracker cookies in your mouth.
You're a monster.
You are.
So have you ever eaten a fruitcake?
You know, my parents actually asked me this question recently and I can't say that I've tried it.
Well, apparently they have so much booze and sugar and whatnot in there that they were intended when they first were created to last all year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was supposed to be baked at the end of the harvest season and saved to be eaten at the beginning of the harvest season the following year for good luck.
Deliciously traditional.
Is there any sort of food that you think you could hold on to like and eat at least 4 months later?
I mean, isn't that what we all do with our Halloween candy?
Well, we try to, but most of us eat it within 3 days.
Girl Scout cookies?
Well, we try to, but most of us eat it in a week and have to go buy more. Let's see. Mince pie. Do you know anything about mince pie?
I feel like a little bit. Is it more like a little pasty?
Yeah, it's they typically were introduced back in medieval times, including mincemeat, fruits, nuts, and spices like cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. It was originally crustless, but over time a crust was added, and a pastry effigy to the baby Jesus was traditionally laid on top. Today, thankfully, the meat isn't an ingredient.
Yeah, see, like, meat with those spices just don't sound too good. Like, we recently made, like, a bolognese, and it was supposed to be a short rib bolognese, but it had some of those similar seasonings to it, and I did not like those spices together.
Yeah, there are certain meats that you have to be careful about when you're eating them. Like, if you want a pie, like chicken pot pie is great. There are certain meat pies, sure, but any others?
Yeah, like shepherd's pie or, I don't know, like a chili pie could be good, but
there's a lot that you have to be careful about.
And I thought it was traditionally maybe made with the meat actually in it, and then now is mostly like dried fruit and nuts in it.
Yeah. But speaking of meat, apparently, turkey wasn't the main dish at medieval Christmas feasts.
It was probably goose.
You'd be very surprised.
Oh.
Yeah, based on the image I just showed her. It was actually peacock. That was a preferred poultry because of how many there were.
I mean, there still are a bunch.
And then boar was a Christmas mainstay as well.
Interesting.
Apparently, it wasn't until Henry VIII had turkey for Christmas that it became the norm.
Well, good old Henry.
Henry VIII, I am. apparently, also, Australians use a grill on Christmas.
Well, it's like summertime there.
Yeah, especially to avoid the hot oven being inside. they normally have their dinner on the Barbie.
Yeah, it's summertime there. I've heard that also for like South Florida too, that it's just so hot, it doesn't get cool, that a lot of people do barbecues or cookouts.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of like if I were doing a barbecued meal outside for Christmas, I think some sort of super sweet pulled pork would be nice.
That could be good. Or if you have like a smoker, that would be really good.
Or you smoke a whole chicken.
You could smoke, yeah, you could smoke a chicken. You could smoke your turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of food, so you know how many calories are in like an average meal or like an average daily intake, right? People are supposed to eat about 2,000 calories, give or take.
Roughly.
So Christmas dinner, which is a bit more than that, how many calories do you think are in a Christmas dinner?
4,200.
Almost double it. About 7,000.
I mean, there's a lot of starch usually involved. Plus, usually you have rolls, which you don't typically have with every meal.
Cheese. Pastries, pies.
Yep.
And booze.
All the dessert, all the booze. And then all the candy. Because, I mean, what's in your stockings? Candy, typically. And, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard from Thanksgiving to just after New Year's, which is why everyone goes on those diets in New Year's, because you have to lose basically everything, all the weight you gain during this holiday season. And it's especially hard right now because people aren't really going outside as much. They're just sitting inside watching the dumb news.
Yeah, there needs to be more things watched, like, you know, British baking shows instead.
Yeah. Or Somebody Feed Phil.
Somebody Feed Phil, where he goes around and tries different foods and meets new people and tries new drinks.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of drinks, I got a list right here. Speaking of holidays and whatnot, of 10 different festive holiday drinks.
Bring them on.
The first one here is an apple pie punch.
I mean, we've made apple pie before.
This one says apple cider, tangerine-infused vodka, and a light rum.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Makes it a little tropical.
On the other end of the spectrum, a candy cane martini.
I feel like I've had that or something. I've had like a white cranberry martini, I think that was. A winter cranberry martini. It's pretty good.
What's in a winter cranberry martini? Is it just a bunch of cranberries and vodka?
I don't know. It's clear. I had it at Bonefish Grill, I think. Last year? 2 years ago? Something like that.
Well, if it's still out there, folks, let us know. Let's see. There's a beverage called a cherry cobbler.
Ooh, yes, please. Sign me up for that.
You just heard the word cherry and decided you needed it.
Yeah.
So here it says, sour cherry bitters help to bring together flavors of VSOP and East India Solera in this sweet holiday cocktail. I'll get the recipe in a little bit. I'll actually post it online. A cranberry martini.
Okay, have that.
Just as simple as it sounds. A fig fling.
Haven't had that. That sounds fun.
Let's see. We got bourbon with orange and lemon with some fig jam.
Yum.
That's a fig fling. We also got mistletoe mulled wine.
Mulled.
Yes, what you said.
Mulled wine.
Mulled wine.
Mulled wine is good. I haven't had mistletoe mulled, which kind of sounds dangerous. Do not eat mistletoe. Poison.
Yes. Mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it, but a kiss could be deadlier if you mean it. Batman Returns.
Ha!
What else do we got here? Rich in color. I got something missing. It's missing the words. holiday themed cocktail, something with honey. No idea what it is, but it's got honey. Spanish fly. That's what it is. A Spanish fly with honey, sage, and other nonsense.
Sounds kind of savory.
We also got a spiced martini.
That could be kind of good, depending on what spices they're using.
And cranberry vodka as well.
Well, cranberry is kind of like a wintry fruit.
And then we also got a sugar cookie cocktail.
That sounds too sweet and sounds like it would give you a hangover for sure.
And finally, a sweet potato pie cocktail with butter schnapps. That's a hard one. Butterscotch schnapps. Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Oh, my word. Anyway, hard pass on that sweet potato casserole drink.
So out of all these, which one sounds the best?
I'm surprised like a hot toddy didn't come up there. I'm taking that cherry thing or the fig fling.
All right, so let me go back to this.
You already did that one.
Cherry cobbler.
Yeah, cherry cobbler or the fig fling, I think is what I would go for. Although, y'all, mulled wine is delicious, so if someone offers you it, you take it, as long as it's been properly seasoned, of course.
So the directions are super easy, except for I don't know what a crevasseur visop is.
Let me see. Is it crevassier?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever VSOP is.
VSOP. I don't know what that is, but crevassier, maybe it's a brand.
And then there's East India Solera and some sour cherry bitters. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I've never heard of whatever that is. So, yay, Cavassier!
Yay, Cavassier! Anyways, so those are some random and interesting holiday foods and beverages.
Sure. What about like a butter rum or like a... hot toddy or
like a
hot apple cider.
I love hot apple cider. You could even add some moonshine to it.
Moonshine or caramel.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our extremely unique and interesting holiday food items. But let's talk about some other things around the world.
Okay.
But based on a list made in 2017, I've got a list of the top five countries that were visited in 2017.
Y'all, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
The top five most visited or most popular destinations.
For Christmas?
Just period.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think the top five would be?
Let's see. In 2017, when yes. life was... dandy and just we didn't know any better.
I'll write down your five and we'll compare it with their five.
How about Australia?
Okay.
How about Japan?
Okay.
What about France?
Okay.
How about Brazil?
And one more.
Well, my favorite, Canada.
Okay. So out of those,
I got zero right.
Out of those, which one do you think is the most visited?
Japan.
Okay, followed by?
France.
Okay, followed by?
Brazil.
And
Australia, then Canada.
Okay. So comparing your list to this list, you've got one of them.
One of them, like the number and the country, or just the country?
Just the country. So their list, number five.
This is least visited, right?
Okay. Yeah. So the most visited, number five, is Italy.
See, I was going to say Italy, but I was like, nah.
Then number four is China.
Interesting. You people weird.
Then number three, the United States.
Well, that's not fair. Our country shouldn't be in this contest.
Number two was Spain.
Oh, okay, fine. I get that.
And the most popular the most popular destination with 86 million people was France. You and I have not been to France.
No, I haven't left this continent.
We need
except
to do
so. On a cruise,
so.
I guess, but even then, I don't counting that. We need to what?
We need to go to. We need to go. Leave this continent. Go somewhere else.
Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go?
I'm thinking more like Australia and New Zealand.
We should also go to the Great Britain area.
And then if we're doing that, you know, like, possibly Antarctica would be super cool.
Nice.
But you're right. Great Britain and Ireland and Scotland and Wales could be exciting.
Could be a grand old time.
Yeah.
If you visited any of those places on the top five, let us know.
Yeah.
And speaking of fun and interesting, crazy things, I've got a fact about the human body. Since we've been talking about food and whatnot over the past episode.
That sounds amazing. Let's hear your fact about the human body.
Apparently, the urine of a diabetic person contains so much sugar that it can be purified and made into whiskey.
Who? A, okay, A, who needs to know that? B, why do we need to know that? And C, who did research to learn that?
I have the source. Do you really want to know?
No.
Okay.
I didn't want to know that fact in the first place. But I guess this is a learning show, and now we learned that.
Yep. We learned that so that you can remember it and then immediately forget it.
Yep. I've forgotten it all about it already.
Let's talk about some other fun and unique, interesting things. Let's see. Ooh. How many ways do you think there are to make change for a dollar?
Like, to use change? Like coins. Okay.
So you have a dollar.
Okay.
And you want to break it into coins.
Well, there's one, 100 pennies.
Okay.
Two is 20 nickels.
Okay.
Three is 10 dimes. Four is 4 quarters. Five is 2 half dollars. And then there's a million other combinations in between there.
Apparently.
That's just the simplified change thing. Yeah. But I'm going to say that there are 387 ways.
You're actually close. It's about 290.
Aha, I was 100 off.
Yeah, not bad. That's a grand old time. About all sorts of cool and unique ways to do ridiculous things with the money that you'll be receiving for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Or gift cards.
Probably gift cards. People don't give people money anymore, hardly.
And nobody really gives people checks anymore. Do people Venmo people money for Christmas nowadays?
People are weird.
Grandma, Venmo me $5. Is that like a thing?
Oh my God. And if you're whining to your grandma about to give them money, then you're just kind of a horrible person.
Yeah, you should be appreciative of the amazing interactions you have with your family and enjoy them while you can.
Exactly. Because life is short.
Life is short, so enjoy everything that's around you.
And be thankful for all those things.
Exactly.
And stop to appreciate them.
I love it. These are amazing things for all of our listeners. So we're coming down here in the end of the episode, which means we just have a couple things left to do. Are you ready for our word of the week, Rachel?
Sure. What's the word of the week?
Our word of the week is Advent. Rachel, what do you think Advent means?
Advent? Gee whiz. It's like one of those words you use and you're like, I know what this means. And then someone asks you what it means and I don't remember. I mean, it's an Advent calendar, so I'm guessing is it just a calendar that counts down to a specific day?
It's a little bit more specific than, or like a little bit more vague than that, I would say. You're being very specific. You're saying most people use it, here it says most people use it to count down the holiday with the festive calendar made specifically for this purpose. But the main part of it is a very simple meaning.
Is it just a holiday or a cherished day?
It's actually the Latin word meaning coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
So an advent is an occasion kind of thing.
Yes, but for the future.
A future occasion.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Let's do one more since we've got it right here. Let's see. Epiphany.
Isn't that like a moment of brilliant realization or idea?
Yes. Yes, it is. Nice work. One more because we can. Frankincense.
It's an herb.
Right on. Pretty much it.
Yeah.
So those were our holiday-themed Christmas words of the week.
Yay!
We did it. Which now brings us down to the most amazing, triumphant aspect of this show. You guessed it, ladies and gentlemen. It's now time for the one and only Random Trivia Generator, brought to you by RandomTriviaGenerator.com.
Woo-woo! Random Trivia Generator. Bring it on.
We're both stalling while it loads.
I feel like I have mastered almost those three words of the day. And
so we'll see what sort of role that you're on.
We'll see what sort of role I'm on, exactly. Whether I'm butter, jam, or honey.
Alrighty. Here we go, Rachel. You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. What word describes a horse with a golden coat and a white or silver mane and tail?
A golden coat and a white or silver mane and tail?
Yep. What type of horse?
Is it a pinto?
It's a palomino.
Oh, I knew it started with a P.
Yes. Yes, it did. Let's see. Which present-day U.S. state did Ponce de Leon explore?
Florida.
That is correct. What six colors come in a standard bag of milk chocolate M&Ms?
There's red.
Yep.
Yellow.
Uh-huh.
Orange.
Yep.
Brown.
Yep.
Green.
Uh-huh.
And, what did I say? What if I said?
You said red. Yellow, red, orange, green, brown.
Blue.
And blue. That is correct. In the movie Jurassic Park, what animal was used to lure the T-Rex?
A goat.
That is correct. Which artist released an album titled St. Valentine's Day in 1948?
Was it Bing Crosby?
It is indeed Bing Crosby.
I'm not looking at the answers, everyone. I promise.
She's not. She's looking up at the sky right now. Which English word is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek alphabet?
Wait, say that question again.
Which English word is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek alphabet?
Alphabet?
That is correct. It's a trick question.
I was like, alpha, beta. Wait, alphabet.
Yes. And then finally, in which museum does the Mona Lisa hang?
The Louvre.
That is correct. Congratulations, you survived the Random Trivia Generator, brought to you by RandomTriviaGenerator.com.
I'm smart, y'all.
You are totally smart. That's why we like having you around, because you help us learn things on the show. And because you're amazing and pretty and I love you. But that's just, you know, semantics. Anyways, now that brings us to the end of our episode. So that means it's time, Rachel, to choose a question based on something that we've talked about during this podcast.
Okay. So we found hidden gems such as The Great British Baking Show and Somebody Feed Phil. What hidden gems to watch on either like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or whatever you're watching, whether it's even like PBS or BBC or TNT, whatever TV show that maybe isn't super popular or maybe people don't really know that it actually exists, have you found that you absolutely love? Please share. We want to watch those.
Super long. I'm sure I'll shorten it by the time it shows up online, but yes, love it.
Yay.
Yeah, what hidden gem have you found on a streaming service that you recommend for other people?
Yes.
Awesome. Alrighty. Well, if you want to answer that question or respond to anything else on this podcast, you can do so by checking us out on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O. We're also on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O. Or you can shoot us an email, didyouknowryano@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Rachel, for joining us on this most spectacular episode.
Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure, as always. And for those of us here, to those of you out there, we hope that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.